Blog Talk Radio.
Talk a little bit about what happened last week. We got the sidekick, the king of all music, Mr. Jeff J. Dub Weister. What's up, J. Dub?
Oh, you know, just living that dream as usual, ready to rock the airwaves.
Yes, living legend already. He's only been doing this for a few weeks, and he's a living legend. You believe this? And we got Mr. Hollywood Joel Casey. How you doing, Joel?
Just got back from getting a manicure, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, I love manicures. I love pedicures, too. Where else can you pay, you know, $15 to have a cute girl rub your feet for 20 minutes? I mean, give me a break.
You could get that for free
good
up
stuff.
272nd and Pack Highway.
Well, let's not go there. We don't do free advertising on this show, all right?
No, just self-promotion.
If you tuned in last week to hear our interview with Jason Knoll of Saving Abel, hey, he's going to be on this week. He's going to call us, actually, from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'd like to say it was a live remote, but it was just random chance. Anyway, last week, okay, let's set the table. First of all, you all should know that Talk 34 is a Kardashian-free zone, okay? So we have made this very clear, and last week somebody brings up one of the so-called Kardashians, and folks, Blog Talk Radio crashed. Not just us, not just our show. BlogTalkRadio.com had a huge outage right after a Kardashian was brought up. Now, I do not believe in random chance. I do not believe that things just happen. That was – folks, we violated the number one rule on Talk 34, and we paid for it. Blog Talk went down for like an hour. We crashed the entire interwebs because we mentioned one of those who shall not be mentioned again during this conversation.
It also didn't help that
we
brought up the wrong Jenner.
Yes, there's a new name for it's not Bruce Jenner anymore. So I'm not bringing that up. I said it wasn't. So yes. We don't talk about Jenner's
or it'll crash again.
Yeah, that's a good call. Anyway, anybody, for all of you that tuned in last week to hear Jason and the interview, we sincerely apologize. It was Blog Talk that crashed and burned. I am currently biting the hand that feeds me, but, you know, to be honest, I have to tell everybody what happened. Not my fault, not Joel's, but it might have been J-Dub's. We don't know. He's kind of magic with his fingertips on that on the interwebs. So he could have crashed it because he was so upset about those who shall not be named.
Are we talking about Voldemort at this point?
Well, yeah, okay. You're right. Let's move on. Let's move on, shall we?
They're kind of
all today's guest.
If you think about it. So.
Yeah. Today's guest is going to be from the gold album selling band Saving Abel, Jason Knoll, who is one of the founding members and the lead guitar player. We're going to talk to him about what it's like to be a rock star because, let's just face it, we all dream of being a rock star. Even me, at my age, I haven't given up hope, even though I really should. It's going to be fun talking with Jason. And he has been kind enough to call in for a second week, even though he's currently in the middle of a big tour. And they just released an amazing new album called Bloodstained Revolution. We'll have Jason on here in a few. But we're going to go ahead and go with many people's favorite segment. We're going to talk with Joel Casey, Mr. Hollywood, about what movies are coming up, what movies are not coming up, I don't know if you're going to say that, actually. News and rumors about movies, news and rumors about castings. We do not traffic in gossip. We just talk about what movies are going to happen and who's being cast and all that kind of fun stuff. So without further ado, what is ado anyway? Anyway, never mind. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, 5 minutes of Hollywood with Mr. Joel Casey. Joel, what's going on with film this week?
Hey. Not much. There's a lot of stuff going on.
cool.
As a lot of people are aware, I'm a huge fan of the original Blade trilogy. I loved it. It was something different at the time when with comic book films, but with the popularity of Blade being popular again, Marvel is considering bringing it back to the big screen, but in a different way.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be the classic Blade character that was portrayed in the previous films. Instead, the story would focus on Fallen Grey, his daughter in the comics.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's kind of a head scratcher, but I can see also at the same time because Marvel's trying to get more female centric comic book films started.
Yeah, more female heroes and so on.
Which I'm all for. I'm all for diversity. So that was kind of a nice little twist for that franchise. And if they could start it up, and it would give a lot of people an alternative from the other Marvel films that are out now.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh. chalk this up to something that kind of piques my interest, but I'm also kind of CC
okay.
has given a pilot production commitment to a show called Powerless. It would be a half-hour single-camera workplace sitcom. It would be kind of like a super-powered version of The Office. Basically,
okay.
the main characters would be everyday people toiling away at one of the worst insurance companies in America. But at the same time, they envy the super-powered superstars outside their window, even as they have to assess the collateral damage caused by the fights between all the costume heroes and villains.
that's definitely different.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of intrigued by this. I would love to see, especially if it's set at an insurance company. I mean, I could just see someone just looking over papers like, God, dang it. Superman destroyed another building.
That's fun.
Brainiac destroyed another airplane, or, you know, just stuff like that. I could totally see just that just being something truly unique and something that I think a lot of people would watch.
It sounds like The Office meets Marvel meets Rear Window with Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh God! I would love to see a comic book version of Rear Window.
Yeah, truly one of the most unique and incredible movies of all time. We're talking about the original.
It was ahead of its time. It was ahead of its
way
time.
Ahead, yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, folks,
for doing that.
Yeah, Hitchcock was always ahead of the game. And Rear Window was just everybody told him, you know, you can't do this, it's going to bore people, and he shot it anyway, and with Jimmy Stewart, and man, did it turn out to be something impressive. Okay, sorry, I stepped all over that one, but I love old movies and classic movies. Anyway, yeah, that sounds interesting, Joel.
Yeah, it's just I am kind of shocked that there hasn't been more adaptations, remakes of Rear Window. It kind of surprised me since Hollywood loves just remaking anything.
That's true.
How many of us are fans of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh.
Number
Agents
one,
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
right
is
here.
Fantastic.
I love it. Agent
yep.
Coulson is a beast. I'm going to marry that
Agent,
man. Never mind.
Agent Coulson. I want to marry Agent Carter. She's
heck yeah. Are you kidding me? She's amazing.
But now, as you know, they have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter on ABC, and ABC looks like they're going to go forward with a Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff. The show would be called Marvel's Most Wanted, and would focus on the characters of Bobby Morse and Lance Hunter. They were on the show last year, and there was reports of them getting their own show, but now it looks like they're going to do a backdoor pilot. Basically means they would air an episode during the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that episode would mostly focus on those two characters, which would lead into an actual series of those two characters.
Oh, wow. Hey, might as well. People love that show, and you know what? If Haley Atwell were to do a guest spot on it, I'm tuning in. Anything with Haley Atwell, I'm tuning in, you know.
You know, I was just thinking the other day, I think she would make a great female doctor.
Sure. Yeah, I'd let her examine me. If you really want to see some great Haley Atwell, go back. I think it was a series on Stars, and it was The Pillars of the Earth. And she's fantastic.
She has that classic Hollywood look. That I just,
she does, yeah.
I get weak at the knees for.
she won't come on the show now because we're all creepy. But anyway, Haley's awesome. So that's cool, man. Yeah. Some more. Hey, I can never get enough Marvel.
And Marvel, in my opinion, DC's been kind of. You know how Marvel films have been kind of kicking DC's butt over the last 15 years? But it looks like the DC television shows, you know, Arrow, The Flash, they've been kind of stepping up their game to rival Marvel's television series, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Daredevil and all that. And I think it's good that there's a lot more comic-based television shows, because 5-10 years ago, that would not be the case right now.
Oh, absolutely true, yeah. I really can't see it dissipating. It's not a flash in the pan, because comic books have been extremely popular for so long. So why wouldn't, you know, now we have the technology and the ability and the studio capacity to shoot comic book TV shows and movies. I think it's here to stay. It's stuff that people love. So, Joel, I got a question for you, because you know everything. Is there any chance we're going to see Spider-Man in any of Disney's Marvel movies?
Basically, Sony and Marvel have a deal. So Marvel is allowed to use Spider-Man in any of their films, whether it be a cameo or a supporting role. And Sony has a deal where they can do their own films of Spider-Man, but Marvel has a lot of say-so in who directs it, who writes it, who stars in it, you know, everything like that. So you will see Spider-Man in the next Avengers films and Captain America next year and his own solo film.
Oh, that's great. That's good to hear.
Yeah, and what's kind of interesting about it is he gets two suits in Marvel's Captain America Civil War. That's actually new news right now. He gets one that he made by himself, and the other one is something that gets created by Tony Stark.
No kidding.
The Iron Spider.
That's way cool. The Iron Spider. Unbelievable.
I hope so. That would be awesome. That would be so cool. I just imagine Iron Spider.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Now, I'm holding out hope for Venom and Carnage as well. I think Venom should get his own movie, because I love that character. I mean, I like Venom almost as much as I like Thanos.
Venom, like, if you know, there's always that iconic villain slash, you know.
Yes.
You don't want to root for them, but, you know, you just, they're
so
too
cool.
Amazing not to. And Venom and Thanos are up there with Marvel's, like, greatest villains. I would also put Apocalypse up there.
Sure.
Trying to think of another one off the top of my hand. The Mandarin for Iron Man. Red Skull. Doctor Doom. You know, all those. And it's kind of like with over at DC, you only really remember just that one villain, and that's Joker, Batman.
Sure.
And but Marvel has such a variety of great villains that kind of makes DC go, oh, well, we have Joker, woo, over here, woo.
Yeah. Yeah, back to Joker again. Although, I tell you what, their casting of the Joker character has been second to none. The Joker characters in DC's movies have been just off the chain.
And they're always different different incarnations of it. Even the Batman, anybody remember the Batman animated series from the 90s who did the Joker voice?
Sure. Yeah, that was Mark Hamill, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mark Hamill. I didn't realize that till like a couple years later. Like, oh my God, Luke Skywalker does a great Joker.
He was a great Joker. Yeah, every aspect. Now, and Jared Leto, of course, the newest incarnation of the Joker coming up.
I just want to say the end of that trailer, when you heard Joker laughing, that was just one of those, oh my God.
Yeah.
I envision a Joker laugh like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that's going to be really fun. And what's the release date on that, Joel?
The release date is August 2016. I don't know the exact date, but they just got done finishing filming, so now they are going to be in post production for the rest of the year, going into next year.
Gotcha.
Cool. And also, from what I've been told, Wonder Woman starts filming this fall. And that will lead into filming Justice League next year.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. You know, I actually had hoped for Ashley Greene to be Wonder Woman. I thought she would just be amazing. But that's all right.
You know,
no question. Ash is going to get lots of great roles if she wants them.
Come to think of it, I didn't even consider her for Wonder Woman. But, wow, she would have been a good choice. But
she's
so
excellent.
Hard because Wonder Woman is such an iconic character, and you have to get almost the perfect person for it. Because you can't do it wrong, or otherwise you're going to get so much hate for being, you know, not supportive of female comic characters. So the studios take that into account. And two, who can you have play Wonder Woman? It's one of those... She's an Amazon, basically. She is.
So true. And one second, guys. Joel, give us a little bit more. I got Jason on the line. So continue. Please continue. And I'll be right back.
I was going to mention The Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead debuted last night. Woo! I watched it. Kind of impressed. So. But The Walking Dead broke big-time cable ratings last night with over 10 million viewers. And a lot of people think, well, that's not a lot of viewers, whatnot. But for cable, that is huge. So it's leading into – it would not surprise me if there was more AMC Walking Dead spinoffs. Just – it was different. It started out at the beginning of the series – and we're just really I can't wait till the next episode. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be something that I'm looking forward to that I cannot believe. It's just all around. It was great. But
we're talking about Fear of the Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, Fear of the Walking Dead. Absolutely, yeah. And they played a new trailer for the next season of The Walking Dead, which comes out in 2 months. So basically,
here's the thing. I've been meaning to watch the episode that aired on Sunday. Was it Sunday? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like I had to work, so I missed it. And I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. And you know, I've always been like, you know, you play these video games, you see these movies where it's typically, you know, the main characters will, you'll always see them in an after event where things have already kind of happened, and now they're just in a world where everything's already in hell. But, the reason I was so excited about Fear the Walking Dead is, you know, you get to see everything go to hell, and you get to see all the everything that everyone has to go through. And so I'm excited to see it. So don't spoil it for me. I have on demand. I'm on demand.
Yes, me too. I'm kind of
shocked that more TV series don't do that with the whole zombie thing. You always see, it's always in films too, that it takes place after, you know, the catastrophe happened. I like to see it when it starts, how it became. I think that story's more interesting than the actual thing that happens afterwards.
Hey, kids, I got to jump in because we have our special guest on today. He is the guitar player for a band that you all know, Saving Abel. And I'm a huge fan of this band and of this guy. He is a true gentleman and a guy that loves and does music incredibly well. Folks, please welcome to Talk 34, Saving Abel's own Jason Knoll. Hi, Jason.
Hey, boys. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Doing fantastic.
It's great to have you on, man. So,
yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, buddy.
You bet. We appreciate you taking time to go ahead and call into the show, even in the middle of a big tour that you guys are on right now. Where are you at right now?
Man, believe it or not, I'm at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
There you have it, folks. Jason Knoll.
Seeing some spots, yeah.
He's doing a live remote from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for Talk 34. At least we're going to pretend so. All right, how's the tour going, Jason?
Man, it's good. Hey, after 8 years of something, you know what I mean? You can get tired of doing anything, but I get to do what my passion is for a living, so I can't complain too much. But you know what I mean? I didn't know where I was at last night, but I know I'm home in 5 days. You know what I mean?
Ah, exactly. And I tell you what, let me tell you, I love Bloodstained Revolution. That is a fantastic album.
Thank you, man. That's one of the, you know, we got to go in and do what we wanted to do because, you know, we got away from the big labels and all that stuff and basically doing everything on our own. So I think it shows in that record, man, because we had fun doing it. You know what I mean? No pressure, no rush. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was just great to do that record. I appreciate that you like it, man.
Oh, I tell you what, you can tell that you guys just went into the studio and said, let's just do music we want to do and do music we love because it comes out. It's absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. It makes a difference, dude. You know, when you got people say you have all your life to do your first record and then, you know, 2 weeks a piece for the rest of them. And that was like, that's what it was for us. So yeah, man, you're absolutely spot on. It's, when you have the time and the desire to do it. For me, desire comes when I'm not being forced to do something. If I'm being forced to do something, I usually don't enjoy it. And don't get me wrong, right. I had some fun. I had fun writing the records because it was my stuff. And, you know, it was but this, you're right. This, hold on 1 second, Mark. Sorry.
No, no worries. It's all good.
Guy was wanting to bum a smoke, and I'm trying to quit, so I'm just a bum myself right now, so I don't have any more. You know?
I got you. So, I got to tell you, I like all your guys' music. I think you're just a band that enjoys what they're doing and so on. But could you give us a little insight into the creative process, like how you personally go about writing a song?
Well, I think a lot of it comes subconsciously because I love music and I've listened to music all my life, and I have too many influences to actually name. You know, that's one of the hardest questions people always ask me, like, who's your favorite band? Who's your biggest influence? And, you know, I've got a couple that, you know, if I was on the desert island whole thing, you know, I'd want those records, but it's too much of a vast array of influences, but I think it comes subconsciously because sometimes I'll just be standing around and somebody can say something to me, and I automatically hear that song in my head hear what they said as a song in my head, and that's my favorite way of writing music. Also, you know what I mean? When it just comes to you and you got an idea in your head, there's nothing like going in and getting that idea down and seeing it come to fruition, see it come to life. So for me, that's basically what happens, you know. There again, like we just spoke about, you know, I can go in and write a song if I have to, but I really, for me, the enjoyment is the creative process, and that stuff coming to you and there again. You get to go in and paint the layers and watch it become a picture, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. I know when I write lyrics, I actually lay out I lay out what I want it to be without rhyme at first, and then I do the rhyme and the meter afterwards by sort of changing without changing the meaning.
Yeah,
so
you're
that,
exactly
that allows
right.
me to be a little, yeah. So
yeah,
yeah, and,
yeah. I'm right there with you. My first songs I ever wrote, I would do in poetry form. You know, I would just make. I just do paragraph after paragraph, you know, and, you know, come find out I'd have two or three songs in there sometimes, but that's the way I did it. I didn't worry about it rhyming. I would write it down, and, you know, nowadays things come a little more easier, I guess, because I'm always at fight and wait, you know what I mean? My mind's always working and waiting
sure.
on a good song, so, yeah.
Sure, and that great vote of confidence of selling so many albums is also, you know, that mm-hmm. it tells you, wow, we must be doing something right, so... Yeah, that's fantastic.
And you know, speaking about the creative process, hey, Jason, this is Jada, but honored to have you on this
Jada.
Show.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm a writer as well, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever done it like this. A lot of the times with me, I come up with a chorus first, and I just kind of write the song around the chorus.
I do that a lot. I actually finished a song last night, and that's how I started it. I know exactly what you mean, yep.
Yeah,
sometimes my choruses will just be extensions of my verses, and that's okay to have songs like that too, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and you know,
yeah.
I like the analogy you said about you know a beautiful painting, you know, and I, you know, when you said that, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. As to I think the way I approach it, you know, I mean, sometimes I'll start with the verses and it'll lead into a really beautiful chorus, but. I mean, you know, 9 times out of 10, I hear a chorus in my head and I start jotting it down. And it's, like, really taking the time to, like, you know, let the verses just kind of flow through you and then and what you're trying to say. I mean, I love that.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you listen back to a lot of the old blues and especially the early country when the only difference between the blues and country was a white man was singing it or a black man was singing it. You'll
sure.
find that a lot. They told stories, and a lot of times, you know, it was the same thing over and over, but somehow we fell in love with that stuff, you know. I'm standing here, and Johnny Cash's bus is here, and that's one of my, if I could name one, that's a big influence for me. And he did a lot of that, you know what I mean? Like, his whole
yeah.
songs
yeah.
never even, some of them might have a, you know, you couldn't differentiate. Was there a chorus? Was there a verse? You know, so yeah, I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, I grew up on Johnny Cash, so you lucky dog, you. It's awesome. I'll get there someday,
you know,
man.
You know what's messed up about the whole deal? That exhibit is closed today, but I did tippy toe
oh,
it
no.
to the front. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to look in.
You want to go? Don't you know who I am? I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. You can tell them that. Hey, I'm doing a remote for Talk 34. That's a huge show. Well, at least we like to pretend it is. You know. No.
Yeah.
All
promotion.
One thing I did want to talk to you about, Jason, is that Saving Abel and you personally are such big supporters of the U.S. military. And, man, you're from your videos to what you guys, when I saw you in concert, that means a whole lot to – I have a lot of military friends, and that means a lot to those guys.
It does, and it means the world to us to get to be able to do a little something, you know, I'm on the road a lot. You know, we played more shows last year than anybody in the world, 306 shows. And
whoa.
But here's the thing about it. Yeah.
Wow.
Listen, Mark. Here's the thing about it, Mark. I'm always a phone call away from home. And, you know, if I had to, I could get in a car and get there, you know, in so many hours. But when you're over there in some of those places, like outside of Iraq and, you know, some of these bases where, you know, the stuff was actually hitting a fan, you know, making a phone call. I mean, you got to make reservations to do that, you know. There's a separate place you go into to go make a phone call, you know. The internet,
yes.
you know, things like that. You know, I can only imagine. So what I'm saying is I love being able to do something like that for people. And especially I've been over there and been in their shoes. And I can, oh, man, I can only imagine, you know. God bless them.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I loved it in concert when you guys made it a big deal to point out you know, how much you support the troops and so on. And that meant a lot to me, as I come from a military family. My dad fought in Korea and got some pretty cool accolades over there, because he was dad was a quiet guy generally, but man, apparently he could kick some butt in the active war, because I'm sitting here actually looking at some of the medals right now, just because I have them displayed here in front of me. But yeah, that it changed a lot from the 60s and 70s to what we have now as far as support for our troops. And you guys are a big part of that. And I can tell you that those guys and those ladies absolutely love the fact that you take care of that sort of business, and it's great.
Well, one of the most heart-wrenching things that I can think of, man, is getting old enough to when I actually saw things like, you know, the Vietnam vets coming home and people actually, you know, spitting at them or whatever it was going on and booing them. And that just, you know, once I got old enough to realize what, you know, what was going on in the world, that just tugged at me. And I was like, man, you know,
sure,
these people have signed up and swore an oath to do something. And whatever, you know, whether we think that's right or wrong, I think we should show our troops respect, because they're just like us. They got mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters, and there's somebody's son or daughter. There's grandparents with a grandbaby over there doing it. So you have to put yourself in their shoes and think, you know, some people might say, well, they know, if they got sense enough, they might know what they're doing is wrong. But here's the thing. They swore an oath, and that oath is, you know, to protect us, basically, and you know, and whether or not that's what they're doing, who knows? But we shouldn't do that to our troops, and I've always felt that way, you know.
Yep.
They're just humans, and they're just doing what they got to do, you know.
Yes,
I don't know if that's a very valid point, but that's the way I feel.
No, it's absolutely valid, and I think as a country we've come a long way. Even people who are maybe not supportive of what the U.S. is doing in the world, and we don't get political on this show, even people who are not fans of that sort of thing seem to be supportive of our troops. And what you say is absolutely valid. They're just dudes. They're just ladies, man. They're just like us. And they're out there doing something scarier than a whole lot of us have ever faced in our lives.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. You're exactly right, man.
Jason, how many more days on this particular tour?
Mark, I got 5 days, and I get to go home, be home for about a week, if I'm lucky. If we don't have anything happen to the bus, we're cursed. Every time we start the trip home, something happens to the bus, so that ends up being another day. I don't get to spend it. Yeah, that's my luck, but yeah. But I'll be home in 5 days, man.
Right on. So you got a show in Cincinnati tonight?
No, we're just passing through on a day off.
There's
a water park.
You got a day off?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's rare. Yeah.
I know.
So, where are you playing at tomorrow?
I knew you was going to ask me that, Mark, and I don't know.
Oh. Well, when you do 300 shows a year, I can understand why you wouldn't know. That's just crazy stuff, man. But I love the commitment to your fans, and I love the commitment to being providing live music to all the people that love you guys so much. So that's great. I just wanted to get some word out there, because we have listeners all over the country, and even we have a lot of listeners in the United Kingdom. I just wanted to throw out there, hey, if Saving Abel's coming to your town, go see them. I did, and they're absolutely a blast. They sound just like they do in a studio. They're just talented guys, and so we absolutely love that. Yeah, so I just wanted to throw out there, do a little promotion, and also make sure you get their new album, Bloodstained Revolution. It's fantastic. Where'd you come up with that album name, Jason?
We actually started with a song first on that one. It happened to be the first song that we could all agree that we should record. So we'd been walking around saying and singing Bloodstained Revolution for 2 or 3 months, maybe, something like that, you know. So when it came time to name the record, we named it that, and I actually kind of wanted to say something. I don't know if you guys, you know, listen to anything, it's like truth media for me, but a lot of people say it's conspiracy, you know, but I dig into some of this other stuff, and if you look at the record, you know, it's the Phoenix sticking its claws into a molten metal earth. And and you know what, without getting political or getting too much into it, something is gonna have to happen in the United States, or we are seriously gonna go to hell in a handbasket, is the best I can put it. You know, we're international in free trade, but we can't send anything over there. You know, things of that nature. And oh man, it's just crazy what's going on. But yeah, I wanted to say something, Mark, when I named that record, I guess. And you know, if you listen to the first couple of lyrics in that song, you know, it says you can blame it on the Illuminati or you can blame it on the devil too. And the song's basically saying, you know, if you want something done, you got to do it. You know, and it should be some sort of a revolution. You know, and I don't mean violent, but, you know, something needs to happen. But so, yeah, that's where that came about. Yeah.
You couldn't be more accurate, man. I'm with you 100%. And that's one thing I love about the show is we want you to speak your mind, especially on stuff like that. So you're right. There's just so much. Here's the deal. There's so much that we need to fix, but nobody in a position of power seems to want to fix it.
I think you're absolutely correct, and I think it's because they have another agenda. I don't think it's because they want to fix it. Because to me, as a kid at 16 years old, I made manager at Taco Bell, and anywhere I ever went and worked up until the time I was 30 years old, I made manager. My last job, I was a store manager at Kmart, and that's without a college education. And being in my town, that was good money. You know what I mean? But when I would go in and take these stores over and become manager, I had to fix things, and I wouldn't have kept getting paid if I couldn't have fixed them. They would have fired me. You know, they would have come in and fired me. And we're not doing that to our hired officials. They're in there. They're making us all these promises. They get in there, and they don't do what they say they're going to do. So we should
another
fire
them. Another cog in the wheel.
Know? That's one of our liberties that we're not exercising. We all talk about it. And, of course, I'm no lawyer or politician. I don't really know the right way about it. But, you know, people ought to get together in each sovereign state and vote and start there and weed them out. You know, start at the bottom and get them up if you have to, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, Jason. It's not even a political thing. It's a matter of, man, stuff needs to get done, and nobody's getting stuff done.
It's a matter of right and wrong, Mark.
It is.
And we need people that want to do the right things.
And we're, you know, if we don't do anything about it, what we're doing is we're pushing it to future generations that have to deal with it, and that's not just lazy, that's just plain wrong.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's a difference between prophecy and prediction. You know, I still think there's time to, if you would, fulfill a prophecy if the prophecy were to say that we're supposed to come out of this. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's time to do it.
There is. You know, and you're right. We have to focus it on, you know, if the guard ain't going to do it, let's change the guard. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Hey,
so
in any other business throughout the world, corporation, and that's basically what our government is. It's a corporation. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, that should be enough. In any other corporation throughout the world, If people hire a person to do a job and they're not doing the job, they'll get rid of them and put somebody in that will. And it just seems like I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you do a bad job, you just become a congressman for 30 years.
And I'm not talking about the process of voting people in and out. We need to say something like, we get somebody in there and 2 years has passed and it's worse, or it ain't, you know, there's no plan of action, you know. Then we just go in and remove them. Because when we wait to vote them, somebody else back in, I just say, well, it's okay. You go in and do what you want to because you're going to be in there for 4 years at a time or 2 years at a time. So it's okay. Don't go. I know you promised us all this, but go do what you want to do because we're going to let you hold that seat until your term is up. I think we should go in there and remove the people.
Boy, I tell you what, Jason, I couldn't agree more, and I really appreciate you bringing that up, man, because that's something that just needs to be said. That's just great stuff.
I can get on a tantrum when you talk about that stuff. Yeah.
Well, congressmen, you know, they have a limit for presidents, you know, 2 terms congressmen. I mean, there's some that have been there for like 30, 40 years, and they haven't done nothing.
No.
Sure.
Mark's point and my point, too, there, man, is it's our fault. It's the people's fault.
Yeah.
You know,
because we keep voting for them every year.
Ample opportunity
to
change.
Yeah.
So true. Well, Jason, I don't want to keep you.
laws and stuff in there. Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't want to keep you too long because I know you're at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You got lots to see. But I got to ask you, when are you going to get up? When's Saving Abel coming to the Pacific Northwest? We need you up here.
Man, just as soon as we can get back out there. I know that we
all
had
right.
a show that was scheduled over there, and we got offered a Buck Cherry tour, and, you know, we could either go do that one show and miss the whole tour, or we could
sure.
Cancel it and we could reschedule it. I think it's what we tried to do is reschedule it, but,
I'm
sorry we didn't make that one. When we're working on getting back
well,
out there. Dude, it's awesome
yeah.
land. Hell, I'm hoping I'll see Bigfoot out there sometime.
Hey, yeah, you know, I saw him in my backyard the other day. You know what's funny about that? You guys are gonna be playing at Cheney Stadium, which is my old stomping grounds. I worked there for 11 years. I've been working in professional baseball since I was 15 years old. You were actually coming home, and I was looking forward to those backstage passes. But hey, we'll get you out here. You know, we'll make sure that we let it be known that this is a place to come, and if anybody gets a chance to get you guys out here, we will all be there, and we'll be there in droves and excited to see you, because I've seen you in concert, and you guys are fantastic, and I love how you treat your fans. You know, your fans are a big deal, and you make that so, and so we really look forward to having you guys come out when the time comes.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, dude. That's awesome.
You bet. Well, yep. Jason, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey,
you get back. I know you got lots to see
hey,
out there. So, yeah.
Mark, my boys just come in. Everybody say hi to Mark and his radio show.
Hey, Mark, what's up? What's up, Mark?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, guys. Hey, I sure had a lot of fun seeing you guys in concert. It was a blast. So, all right. Well, hey, have fun, Jason. Thanks again. Maybe, next time you're heading this direction, we'll get you back on and we can talk about what's happening in the future. For everybody out there, go out, buy the album, and if they're coming to your town, go see Saving Abel. Thanks again, Jason, for everything.
Thank you, buddy. Have me on anytime, buddy. See ya.
All right. Let's look forward to maybe next time you can co-host with me. It'd be fun.
There we go. We'll do that. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, go enjoy the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Thanks again for coming on, taking the time to do that. And God bless, and you have a great last 5 days of that tour. And let's pray that there's no problems with the bus getting home.
Cool. I'm hearing you, man. Please do. God bless y'all. Talk to you later, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Right,
good night.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. The one and only Jason Knoll. And that was awesome. A little message from the band there at the end. How fun was that?
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love those guys. I saw them in concert. I almost got my butt kicked because the concert was in Northern California, and the front man was talking about the 49ers being such a great team, and I screamed out, Seahawks! I don't know what I was thinking, but I've never seen that many middle fingers at once in my life. And, of course, instead of backing down, I started screaming, Richard Sherman says hi, everybody! You know, and so, yeah, that's a true story. That's a true story. Anyway, Jason Knoll, fantastic. Boy, what a great guy he is. And it was good to get into some personal stuff there with him because that is a very big deal to the band, and they are so supportive of our troops and just a great band to see. Guess what? It's time for J-Dub's segment. You there with us, J-Dub?
I'm here.
All right. Well, J-Dub, I believe we have your musical guest on the line right now. And if I may turn it over to you, go for it. It's time to do the king of all music. Here he is, Jeff Weister, J-Dub.
Hey, everyone. How you doing? CJ, are you with me?
I am with you.
Yes. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show. It means a lot to me. I know, you know, you're living that busy lifestyle, and you're just days away from getting married, so I can't thank you enough for finding the time to come on and talk with us for a minute.
No worries. This is exciting.
So just a quick backstory. CJ and I, we go way back, and by way back, I mean years. And
Yes.
I'm just going to leave it at years. I'm not going to tell you how many because I want it to sound like really extensive. But we actually met each other in the a cappella world. CJ is also a member of an a cappella group called Resonate. Fantastic a cappella group. It was just, you know, we became friends right away. You know, we're like family at this point. And he's just one of the most talented and kind-hearted people you could ever meet. Very genuine. And we've been hanging out a lot. Before I moved to Texas, and then I moved to Texas. But CJ's been just killing it on the music scene. He's doing his own show right now. CJ, tell us a bit about what you're up to. About, you know, what's going on with you as far as like your music and everything right now.
Cool, dude. Well, hey. Again, thank you for having me. Just like Jeff said, we met in the a cappella world. I used to think that a cappella music was really cheesy. I know that Jeff's ears are probably bleeding right now, sorry. But it's just kind of so funny. I used to think it was kind of cheesy. And I actually got asked to be a part of a group of guys that were a cappella singers, but they were really just monster musicians. And so I got a chance to join Resonate, and it's been awesome. It keeps me reading music and harmonizing. I think sometimes as an artist, you get so stuck, you know, in your artistry ways that you just want to do your own thing. And so Resonate is very challenging. So I love it. But as far as what I'm doing now, I've got a band, and I play a monthly show down here in Portland. For the past few years, I won this competition called Portland Idol. So I won that title, and I was singing kind of all over the place, just random, you know, bars or festivals and all sorts of stuff. As of late, I've actually acquired a band and just focusing on our show and started recording music, and I'm actually working on an album right now. So it's, believe it or not, I've been working on it forever, for years and years, but it's finally done almost, so I'm really excited and looking forward to it.
And you're starting to get a release date together for your album, right?
Yes, almost date. I don't want to say a date until I'm like, okay, for sure. We were trying for the end of the year, but it might be just the beginning.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to throw it out in the universe. It's coming out at the end of the year. That way we can get it. You got to throw it out into the universe. So that way it does happen. I'm a very like big universe person. I don't know. It works. But anyway, so you got the CJ Mickens show going. You're doing all that. You're writing your own original music. I mean, is this – oh, and also, you know, you did mention that you were on Portland Idol, but something that you shared with me, I think we should just throw this out there to let them know how big of a deal CJ Mickens really is. For those who, you know, don't remember the name right off of the bat, my good friend CJ here was also on American Idol.
It's a very long time ago. It dates me, but yes, season 2 of American Idol.
Season 2? No kidding, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know what, and as cliche as it's going to sound, Simon Cowell really changed my life. Now, he was just as mean as you would imagine him to be, but I grew up singing in church, so I wasn't a performer. I would stand there and just sing my song, you know? And he was the first person to say, you know what, I look at you and I don't see a star. All right, you can sing, but millions of people can sing. What else are you going to do? And so after being publicly humiliated in front of 7 million people, you know, now it's just like I'm all over the place. I don't feel the song unless I'm, you know, jumping and just really into it. You know, he literally has liberated me, so I have that to thank. So
that's fantastic.
And
what a story.
Yeah.
And who would you say are some of, like, your biggest influences? Like, I mean, who inspires you? Like, I mean, as far, like, I've heard your music, and it's just, you, the way you write is, you feel the music. You really do. And just, you know, it's like, I wonder, because, I mean, you're very versatile with your sound. So
you.
I just wondering, like, who really inspires you?
To be honest, it's going to sound super crazy, but, I mean, a little bit of everything. I mean, my iPod back in the day would have everything from Kelly Clarkson to 90s Mariah Carey, you know, to old school Stevie Wonder. And then, you know, also, yeah, I mean, I grew up in the church, so lots of gospel music as well, Andre Crouch, you know, even Kirk Franklin, Mary Mary, all over the place. And when I was pursuing music at a younger age, they always told me I had to have a specific genre. I had to have a focus. And it never made sense to me. Now that I make music, you know, as an artist and just on my own, I sing all sorts of stuff, country and rock and all, you know what I mean? I like to think that I'm just like some big, huge rock star, even though I'm not. But literally, just, I get inspiration just from people that are in their own right. So, you know, people like Sia or Beyonce, people that are just going for it, making music unapologetically, that is my biggest inspiration. So,
God, that's awesome, man. And you know, I just, I can't wait to play the song for everyone. Okay, so real quick, I know you're on a time crunch. And I thank you again, you know, for taking time to come with on the air with us. But please tell us, tell everyone where they can find your single Unspoken, which we're about to play right now, and tell them how we can, you know, keep following up with you and, you know, get that new release of your album.
Awesome. Okay, so Unspoken is everywhere. It's on iTunes, Amazon, Tidal, Spotify, all over the place. So it's my first single off of my soon-to-be album. It's going to be a self-titled album, but it's just myself, CJ Mickens, Unspoken. Yeah, and you can literally find it everywhere. I've got a website. It's the CJMickensShow.com. That's kind of the name of my band. And then you can also follow us on Facebook. So Facebook.com/CJMickensMusic. So it's pretty simple. But yeah, for that, that's a little bit about me. So that's it. Thank you again.
Thank you, CJ. And now we're gonna blow the airwaves. We're gonna blow them away with CJ Mickens, Unspoken.
All right. Happy to introduce you to CJ Mickens here on Talk 34. Here you go.
Find me the highest of mountains to climb. Find me the deepest of rivers unwind. What must I give to you to show you that I'm the one for you? What must I break through in time? People say that you get one chance to fall. Head over heels for the one that you call. Lover or husband or wife or your all. But I'll just stay here. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not holding my breath for you to come back and save me. So I'll just remain unspoken. My friends and family say that I'm crazy for her. Crying inside for the one I adore. When friends ain't enough for me, I still want more. But I bite my tongue and seal my lips behind your closed door. You must think that I am insane or broken, but you don't know what you do to still leave me hopeful for sunny days and starry nights with you by my side. But I'll just lay here. I'm not holding my breath. No, I'm not holding my breath for you to come back and save me. So I'll just remain unspoken and 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 I'll just. Through every valley I'm over. I'll run after you. I'm not holding my breath. No, I'm not holding my breath. For you, come back and save me. So I'll just remain unspoken enough. Just remain unspoken enough. Just remain unspoken enough. Just remain unspoken and I'll just
Ladies and gentlemen, CJ Mickens, Unspoken. Thank you again, CJ, so much for coming on to Talk 34. Amazing single. Don't forget to check CJ out on Spotify. CJ Mickens, that's MickenS. And then CJ, well, CJ speaks for itself. If you can't figure that out, learn the alphabet. I'm just saying.
What a great song, Mr. CJ Mickens. That was fantastic.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much.
And, you know, we'll definitely, we're going to need to get you back on here. So please keep us updated with how your album's going. That way we can really blow it up for you.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Thank you, CJ. And you have a great day, and we'll talk with you soon, my friend.
You too. Bye, guys.
Thanks so much. Wow. Jeff, how do you find these guys?
You know, it's... I feel like all the ones that I've brought on lately, it's like everyone that I've met through a personal experience or somehow. No, but, you know, the Seattle music scene, you know, I got someone that I'm bringing on next week because I'm moving away from the Pacific Northwest now. I did say when I first started that I was going to blow up some talent from the PNW. And, you know, it's just, like I said, there's a lot of talent in Seattle that's really unspoken for.
Hey, that was a good one. That was a segue.
I like that, right? So,
well, I'll tell you what. Next week's going to be all about music because our guest next week is going to be none other than my favorite band, Rain Light Fade. Those of you that are not familiar with Rain Light Fade, you actually are because they do our opening and our closing themes. And they're going to come on next week, Dane Creek and also Ian Tomlinson. So we're gonna play some of their music. They're going to be opening for POD up here pretty soon. So we want to do some promotion for those guys because I absolutely love them. Yeah.
And I love POD. POD is just, butter.
Payable on death. Yeah, I love them too. So we're really looking forward to that. And go ahead.
I remember seeing them on Cribs one time, MTV Cribs, back in like 2002. They had a nice, quaint home. It looked like they don't lavish themselves with like crazy stuff. They seem really cool and down to earth.
From what I know, they're still the same way. You know, so
that's awesome.
I've been trying to contact those guys to get them on. So far, I've been unsuccessful. But as the show grows, and we've been growing every week, you guys. As the show grows, we'll get closer and closer. We got some exciting guests coming up. I don't have specific dates for them yet, but we're going to have Rick Drazen on here, who has one of the biggest shows on YouTube. We are going to have my buddy EJ Skullcrusher Snyder from Naked and Afraid. If you've been watching Naked and Afraid XL, EJ is quite the presence on there, so he's going to come on and chat with us. We got some big shows coming up. It's going to be really exciting. And, of course, Jeff's going to be out there with our awesome musical guest because he has a knack for this sort of thing.
Well, thank you, Mark. You know, I dabble in the music industry. So no big deal.
it's just a side project for you.
Yeah.
No big thing. I'm not working on my own album or anything. It's whatever.
No, not at all. And Yeah, I can't wait to go, because I'll be there. I'll be there with you in studio while we lay the tracks down. While you and the people who are musical talent lay the tracks down, I will be there just in full support, because it's going to be. I'm really looking forward to that. And when the time comes, Jeff, we're going to have a whole show that's just going to be dedicated to promoting you and your new album coming out. And I'm so excited about that, because you deserve it, man. You have worked so hard to get where you are.
Thank you, man. And I mean, but how's that show going to work? Like, hey, Jeff, this is J-Dub. How you doing? Huh? You know, I'm doing great, man. I'm just happy to be here. Well, thank you for coming on. So anyway, tell us about your music. Yeah, well, you know, it all started. Yeah, I just don't see that working.
Well, the good thing is, to promote your show, you have some friends in the radio business. In fact, from what I hear, you're in the radio business yourself. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that one. hey, guess what it's time for? Come on, guess.
It's Dumb as Martin.
Dumb as Martin. Here we go, folks.
Dumb as Martin.
This is my favorite weekly segment where we talk about the dumbest person of the week. And, you know, people, my point is that people are born, they're obviously people are born geniuses. We see all these kids all the time graduating from college at the age of 13 with 3 science degrees, stuff like that. So if people are born geniuses, I hate to say it, but people must also be born stupid. And this segment is dedicated to those who were not born geniuses. And it, named after a man named Martin, who may or may not be real, may or may not be Martin, may or may not be in existence in any capacity, as I am avoiding any sort of lawsuits by calling this individual unintelligent. But it's funny to know someone who had a mind or has a mind like this individual, and who may or may not be named Martin. So anyway, here's this week's Dumb as a Martin. You're going to love this. Okay, in Phoenix, a bounty hunter and his crew thought they were actually trapping a fugitive from Oklahoma. He wanted on a drug charge and skipping bail, so they thought they were trapping this guy inside of a house. They ended up being a little bit wrong. The house was actually the residence of Phoenix's chief of police. It didn't work out so well for these guys. Yeah. So they got their whole posse and crew set up, and they surrounded this house, and they demanded, here, I can read you a little bit. A bounty hunter was arrested after gathering a posse and mistakenly trying to raid the home of Phoenix's chief of police, officials said Wednesday. Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, you can make a mistake as far as a bounty hunter, but to try and arrest the chief of police, yeah, you might want to do a little more research on something like that. The guy's name is Brent Farley. Him and 10 others surrounded Chief Joseph Yonner's home around 10 p.m., thinking they were cornering an Oklahoma fugitive wanted on a drug charge. What can you say more but oops? I don't know what exactly occurred, but it says the bounty hunters were told they had the wrong address and were asked to leave numerous times. So I think we were a little overboard there, overzealous bounty hunters. Now, here's the part that cracks me up, and it's kind of funny, but it's also so odd that it makes you go, what are they thinking? Here's the part that just blew me away. 8 of the individuals were men, and 3 others were women. This is the posse, including a relative of one of the men who was riding along. So it was just a dude hanging out, you know, with the posse. Hey, dude, I'll go along, and we'll surround the police chief's house. And this is where it gets nuts. Also along was an 11-year-old girl who was wearing a toy gun belt. Now, does this make sense to anyone? You got an 11-year-old
like
really with a fake...
This sounds like a really bad episode of Breaking Bad.
it's unbelievable.
I'm sitting here with my mouth wide open, not even... I have no words for the stupidity.
Let's get the 11-year-old along, and let's equip her with a toy gun belt. You know, what if she whips that out and points it at the fugitive who wasn't there, by the way? And do we really want to risk getting the 11-year-old girl shot by a fugitive? by not just having her there, that in itself is ridiculous, but having her there with a toy gun on her. Hey, let's go play bounty hunter. Whee! You know, when I was 11 years old, I believe I had a fake gun, a toy gun, but I didn't get to go on any ride-alongs with any bounty hunters. And
it sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
It does, doesn't it?
It's like Dog the Bounty Hunter meets Little Einsteins.
That's it right there. So
you should totally write a movie like that.
Yes. So
this
anyway,
summer,
just
Dog the Bounty Hunter, Beth, and their little 11-year-old baby.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So anyway, it happened that this individual was charged with disorderly conduct and criminal trespassing, and additional charges against the 10 others are possible as well. Against this individual, Mr. Farley, who is, by the way, a felon working as a bounty hunter, along with the 11-year-old girl with her fake gun belt. The recovery firms that they were working for could not be reached for comment. I tell you what, I wouldn't be allowing people to reach me for any comment either after something this incredibly stupid happened. And here's something else that is hilarious. The fugitive that they were looking for, this is not a race thing, but you'll understand when I say it, it was an African-American individual, whereas the chief of police is a white guy. So not only did they have the chief of police, they had the wrong race. The guy didn't look anything like him. So, folks, we are very proud to present you with this week's Dumb as a Martin. Very proud. Play him off, keyboard cat. There we go. There you have it, folks. I decided to add Keyboard Cat to the Dumb as a Martin segment. I'm a big fan of Keyboard Cat. He's my hero. Play him off, Keyboard Cat.
There's got to be a couple million YouTube videos of people doing the Keyboard and Cat. I think there's even one with Kato Kaelin from the 90s doing it.
Oh, boy. Wow, you brought up an old, a previous Kardashian-like individual. Oh, my gosh, I said it. Okay, everybody, put your seatbelts on because anything could happen now. Hey, you know what? This has been a blast of an episode, and we have a ton of people listening. We still have a little bit of time left, though. So, Joel, I was speaking to you yesterday, and you wanted to talk, do a little more Hollywood. So we already had 5 minutes of Hollywood. Let's do another 5 minutes of Hollywood. Talking a little bit about some older films, and I really wanted to do this segment because it sounds very intriguing. So, Joel, tell us, what do you got on your mind?
Well, as a lot of people are aware, the summer film season is winding down. You know, we had some great films, but we also had some duds. What I wanted to do was go back 10 years ago to summer 2005. I'm not sure a lot of people remember the films that came out that year, that summer.
Oh, I was only 14, so, you know.
Yeah, I was six. But
they can't see us on the radio, so we don't know. You know, they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Also, we're like 6'7", and we're all really attractive. Just
people. I don't have a belly. Anyway.
Yeah. No, but 10 years ago, I would say films that are not really well regarded as they would be now would be considered good summer films. Like, well,
sure.
Star Wars came out. The last Star Wars movie came out 10 years ago, so that was something to look forward to in the summer. But there were two films, in my opinion, that stood out that summer that ended up changing their genres in which they are. The first one, and I remember going to the midnight show and just being blown away and can't waiting for the sequel, was Batman Begins.
June 2005.
Sure.
That was one of those
sure.
films, in my opinion, that still stands, even after 10 years, as a genre-defining film. Because not only in the comic book side of things, but Batman Begins started a trend, and Hollywood still does it to this day, of rebooting franchises.
Sure.
And back then, it was considered taboo to, you know, redo a franchise. You know, no one would even dare doing it. They would just make a sequel to something. But Batman Begins started a trend that if a film didn't start out well, well, we'll just reboot it 5 years down the road or 2 years down the road or anything like that. Case in point, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Sure.
But that
yeah.
movie started a trend, which I'm not going to get too into detail about that because it's just going to make me angry. But it started, it did start a good trend of great comic book films to come, as Iron Man and The Dark Knight and, you know, Captain America, The Avengers, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. It started this great trend of, I think, leading into a golden age of comic book films.
Absolutely.
So
the Avengers and so on. Thor, a lot of just comic book. You're absolutely right. It started a trend of basically upping the ante for comic book films.
Yes. And it's something that I'm really proud of as being a comic book fan, because we're in an era now, a golden age of comic book films. Everything is, it's good, but it doesn't suck. Well, except for Fantastic Four. You know, that I don't even want to get into detail about that.
I haven't seen it.
Don't waste of money.
Was it really that bad? Did you go see it?
Yeah, I did.
And
of course
you would
did.
Not recommend it.
Yeah, I know it. Basically, I'll say it like this. Do you remember the first Fantastic Four films?
Yes, I do.
Well, the new one makes those films look like the Avengers.
Wow, that bad.
Yeah. It started out good. Like, the first 30 minutes, it was trying something new, but then it just, I don't know. I think the writers were doing drugs when they wrote that second half. It was awful.
Okay. I just
you
want to state.
You wonder if.
I want to state for the record that I did not say those things. Anybody that is out there that is a casting director, I have nothing negative to say because I don't mind being in bad movies. I've already been in lots of bad movies. So anyway, that was Joel. That was Joel, not
yeah.
me.
Yeah, that was me. I'll take the blame for it. Come on. Come at me, vultures.
You know, and it makes me wonder, like, writers today, I mean, when's the last time we've seen a good original movie? Now, I get it, you know, what you were saying, Joel, about, okay, so we're working on a new concept. Let's do a reboot to a series. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, first of all. And clearly, you know, I guess for whatever reason, people felt Fantastic Four didn't work the first time around. Why the hell are you going to try it again? Because
well,
if people are already dogging on it as much as they are, what's the point?
Well, the reason is, and I'm actually glad that you brought that up, is because 20th Century Fox owns the rights to the Fantastic Four films. So if they don't constantly keep making movies, those rights revert back to Marvel. And 20th Century Fox doesn't want to lose out on a comic book film, since comic book films now are the rage. So that's why Sony did those Amazing Spider-Man films. If they couldn't get a film out after a couple of years, those rights revert back to Marvel.
So basically, what it comes down to is they're playing a gambling game. Okay, so we're going to blow the hell out of this Fantastic Four movie, get people really excited, and then watch it bomb, and then we basically break even. Did we lose any money? No, but we didn't make any either, so we're still in the green. Not really, 20th Century Fox. Come on.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Like, when films make money, they have to split half their, you know, how much money they make at the theaters with the theaters. They split half of that money. So they're writing off about $100 million off the Fantastic Four.
Oh,
yeah. Well, that's
wow.
Disney's done it. Disney's done that for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That's rough.
$100 million. I only need $150 grand to make my film.
Yeah, it's and they write it off, and they say, well, it's not a big deal. That's a huge deal when it comes to
shareholder meetings and whatnot.
You would think. You would think.
Yeah, they're sitting there. Okay, so we're going to go over the budget today. Where are we sitting? Sir, could we talk in the next room real quick, like privately? No, just go ahead. Break out the numbers. No, sir, really.
I can imagine Rupert Murdoch in his evil little chair going, like, acting like the Penguin. How's that Fantastic Four film doing?
For the record, I'm apologizing to Rupert Murdoch. I love you, Mr. Murdoch. how many times are they going to reboot The Incredible Hulk, by the way? There hasn't even been a sequel.
Well, Universal owns the rights to that film, to a solo Hulk film. So what Marvel was able to do is that's why they just put Hulk as a supporting character in the Marvel films, because Universal still owns the rights to do a standalone Hulk film.
Oh, okay. But are we going to see Mark Ruffalo as the Incredible Hulk in his own film?
They've been trying to figure it out, but the issue is they don't know of a plan. They don't know how they would do a full-on Hulk film, because his character in those films has literally done a 360. He's come back around again. If you notice at the end of The Last Avengers, he goes off, like, you know, just finding himself again. And I personally would love to see another Hulk film, but I just don't think with what's going on, I just don't think they have the time and the money to do it. I mean, obviously they have the money. Come on, it's Hollywood. They greenlight anything. But I think it's just finding a good story. And that's what it is with films now. You have to have a good story. I think the two things that can make or break a film is a good story and editing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Editing is huge. As you know, working in the film industry for the last 7 years, you can make a movie great with your editing, or you can completely ruin. Editing and makes such a huge difference. If you don't have good sound, people aren't going to take your film seriously.
Yeah, I completely agree. Editing, if you look at some of the best films of all time, their editing is near perfect. I mean, yes, there's like bits and pieces like, oh, that scene, that wasn't in that last scene, but it's in this one. But I'm talking about editing actual, like, and people need to remember, people think it's easy to edit. You're in the editing room for like 5 to 6 months. Tops.
Oh, absolutely. I've been involved in the process, and it is terrifying how long and how long it is, and how long you can spend on one scene. Like you said, it can make or break it.
Yeah, and it's even worse if you're working on a big budget film, because not only are you editing, you're also having to figure out, okay, where does this special effects shot go with this, especially if you're doing a lot of CG.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's where it gets insane. So I am in agreement with you. Batman Begins definitely did start a trend. So that's fun to talk about. Did you have another one you wanted to discuss?
Yeah. There was another one. It was summer 2005 also started a trend of really smart, but also, gross out R-rated comedies. And the one that started for me, and everybody says, well, Wedding Crashers came out 10 years ago. Me personally, I think Wedding Crashers is a little overrated. But the one that just made me gut bust laugh was The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And that started
mm-hmm.
a trend of Judd Apatow becoming this iconic comedy director. And basically, it started up Steve Carell's career, Seth Rogen's career, Paul Rudd got back in the game, and it started this trend of films where you can have a gross-out R-rated comedy with a good story.
Yes, this is true.
And those films led to Superbad and Knocked Up,
which is my
Forgetting
favorite.
Sarah Marshall. I think Knocked Up is one of my favorite films of all time. But it started a great trend.
great trend of just
I love Superbad,
funny comedies.
Dude. Superbad made me laugh so hard, and I've watched it again and again. Superbad just slays me.
Superbad, and if you look at those genre of films that the 40-Year-Old Virgin basically was kind of like the godfather of it,
sure.
And you look at some that were not even like done by Judd Apatow, you know, The Hangover, and trying to think of some other films, but there's that great trend of just Trainwreck, previously Trainwreck with Amy Schumer. It started that trend also, Bridesmaids and The Heat.
Yes.
You know, it started a great trend that still stands today. So I thank the 40-Year-Old Virgin and Judd Apatow and Steve Carell for starting a trend, because I love R-rated comedies. I think a comedy can be good, PG-13, but it's so much better when it's R-rated because you don't have any loose ends, because that is how people talk regularly, like on a daily basis. They don't talk, you know. We're very vulgar human beings. We're very vulgar human beings. And,
it depends on where you hang out, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, I hang out.
Are you talking about,
really,
you talking about
places.
The Hitchin Post? At the Hitchin Post, yeah.
By the way, self-promotion, everybody go check out the Hitchin Post in Washington. It's a kick and play, strong drinks, and you are going to love their karaoke. All right, now I'm
and you're more than likely going to find that you got yourself Shiloh'd.
Shiloh. Oh! Yes, a private joke. All right. Well, hey, Joel, great points to discuss. That you totally hit the nail on the head there. 10 years ago, things really changed in movies in some unique ways. So it was fun. I appreciate you bringing those things up. We're going to go ahead and wrap the show up here a little bit early.
Mark.
Yeah, okay, we're not going to wrap up the show early. Hey, J-Dub, what's going on?
Hey, you know what? No, I gotta talk about something that's got me really excited. And it kind of goes along with Joel's 5 Minutes of Hollywood. It's not a movie, but it's a TV series. Now, okay, have both of you seen Bradley Cooper in the movie Limitless?
Yeah,
yes.
The TV show's coming out next month.
Yeah, I am obsessed with that movie, and I don't know where I've been, but I just happened to come across the Facebook page for Limitless, the TV series, and I was like, wait, what is this? And you click on it, and what's exciting is that Bradley Cooper's reprising his role as Eddie Mora. Now, he won't be the serious main character in it, but he is reprising the role, so that's cool. But they're making a series out of this amazing, amazing drug that just, you know, unlocks your brain, and it's like, no way.
And they got Bradley Cooper to do the TV show. That's awesome.
He's an executive producer. He's an executive producer on the TV show.
Kidding.
So his character is like reoccurring. His character is not like the president of the United States or something. And he has this new guy. He has this new guy take the pill, and he helps the cops solve crimes.
Ah, okay.
So
it's
like a procedural, you know, crime of the week case, but also has a side story for the backstory for the, you know, the mythology of the show, which we now see with a lot of shows. Lost, 10 years ago, Lost started that trend of a mythology show. So, you know, like,
right.
Yeah, Jeff, I agree. I love the movie Limitless, and I'm really excited that Bradley Cooper will have a recurring role.
Yeah,
so
just seeing
really
him
cool.
play that character again is just going to be so awesome, because I was hoping, you know, I mean, I thought the movie did well. Now, you know, how well did it do in the box office? I didn't look at those statistics, but I thought it was a great movie.
It did really well at the box office for when it came out. I remember I was working at the theater at the time, and we would get about 100 people for each showing on the weekends during, like, the initial 2 weeks on the weekends. And if a lot of people don't think that's a lot of people, from working at a movie theater, you'd be surprised at some of the stuff people go see. Limitless, for when it came out, we were pretty busy for that film.
Yeah. Man, see, there's a part of me that still hopes that they do like a big screen sequel, but if they don't, I'm good with this TV series thing. Now, what I'm excited for about it is the latest thing I read was it's supposed to pick up where it left off. And I'm kind of wondering, I'm like, is he president then? Because where it left off, he was still like a senator. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, from the TV show, yeah, he is going to be president, or he's running for president, one of the two. But yeah, it's going to start up really well, I think, and I can't wait. It's going to be one of my TV shows that I would love to cover in like the next month of new TV shows to check out.
Heck yeah, we need to. Like, and you know what we should do? We should have a Talk 34 get together, you know, of just the crew, and we'll just go and like make some popcorn, get some drinks, and let's watch some TV shows together. And let's take some notes. Like, I don't know. It just sounds like a blast.
I love hanging out with you guys, even if it's just a virtual hangout. Yeah. Well, hey, great points, Jeff. Man, looking forward to that show as well. That's going to be a lot of fun. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up here. We want to say a huge thank you to CJ Mickens for coming on the show. And huge thank you to Jason Knoll. Jason Knoll taking the time out from his one day off of the tour where he's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to call in and be on Talk 34. Man, we really appreciate that. And
that was awesome.
Jason, he actually texted me afterwards and said he had a great time, and we can have him on anytime we want. So, hey, we will talk to Jason in the future as well. And it was great to hear from all the rest of the guys in Saving Abel as well. So that was a lot of fun. We're going to go ahead and sign right off now. Signing off for Joel Casey and Jeff Weister, or as we know him, J-Dub. This is your host, Mark A. Johnson. And tune in next week. You'll be able to talk with our guests, another great band, Rain Light Fade. And we'll have some more Hollywood talk, and J-Dub will have an awesome musical guest for us. So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to Talk 34. We couldn't do it without you. The ratings for our show keep climbing, and it is amazing. We can't thank you enough. We have some pretty big and exciting things coming up here in the near future, and so we love the fact that you're all a part of this. And so keep tuning in. We always are available on podcast as well. Feel free to share that with friends. And thank you. God bless you. And have a great day. Saying everything.